How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we left it off last time in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 27. We begin to deal with this, and or we read this passage here. We want to deal with it here at this time. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord clarifying things, many things that had been given in the moral law, that given to Moses, that given to the nation of Israel, and the Lord revealing here the mind of God in it. What the Lord is doing is he's taking that which was commanded physically. And those things are true, those things commanded of the Lord, the obedience that the Lord has, and the expectation of obedience that the Lord has in man physically is always there. And it's always desired and required by God. It'll be on those things physical, certainly, that men will be judged. It says there in Revelation chapter 20 that those that appear at the great white throne judgment of God will be judged according to their works. But what the Lord is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount is he's taking these things physical and he's drawing them to our real and most desperate problem, is that we have a heart issue. We have a heart issue. We're sinners. We're dead spiritually. We have no capacity to be able to have fellowship with God. And we need salvation. We need forgiveness of our sins. We need the covering of our sins, the washing away of our sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that imputing work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his righteousness is imputed unto the sinner that's repentant and has received him by faith, and that our sins are imputed unto him. And so it's a transfer, it's a transaction that's needed, and that starts, and the need for that is because of our desperately wicked, sinful heart. We need a heart transplant. We need our old heart of stone crushed, and we need a heart of flesh sensitive to the Lord, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And so the Lord is speaking to all these things, and many of these things here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, speaking of these things and directing us to the issue of our heart, the issue of our heart. We cannot reform ourselves into salvation. We, through repentance and faith, are commanded to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance of our sins, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of our souls, for the salvation of your souls. Here in verse 27, the Lord says, "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." And of course, that's one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments given there by the Lord to Moses and ultimately to the children of Israel there in Exodus chapter 20, 10 commandments given, 4 and how we're to operate and how we're to be towards God, 6, the last 6, how we're to be towards one another and in that to God. And he says, you've heard it of old time, don't commit adultery, don't physically commit adultery. And that still stands, that's true. We should not be an adulterous people. To take the husband or take the wife of another, to take the spouse of another is wickedness before God. He condemns it. He condemns it from the beginning. The Lord Jesus Christ, during the time of his ministry, made it very clear that in marriage, two that are joined, a man and a woman joined in marriage, are twain that are made one flesh. and the Lord Jesus Christ, and reiterating that in the Gospels and telling that again, he said, what he added to that, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so adultery physically, we are not to be involved with that. It is wickedness and sinful before God. But here the Lord taking it to help us to understand the issue of our heart. But I say unto you, as he said in many of these cases, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery all with her already in his heart. And that's going to be the issue here with this pole dancing. Even now, I understand that there are women down there in Adairville that maybe dance at that facility and are not paid. And that's the whole issue. They want to have an entertainment license granted to them so the owner of the establishment can pay the pole dancers. Listen, this is wickedness before God. To have women that would dance there before men will be nothing but the committing of fornication and adultery in the hearts of those that would go on. It is said in our day, and it's very, very false, but it's said in our day, well, it doesn't hurt to look. The Lord Jesus Christ says it is wickedness and sinful to look. It is so for me, it is so for everyone. We should not be involved with such. And see, adultery physically is going to start by that which is in the heart. I'm going to take an opportunity here to go over to James, and this is the plight of mankind, and this is the way that it is with any who are saved, or any person saved or not saved. But here in James chapter 1, verse number 13, the scripture says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, this wording here, earlier in the chapter, it speaks about temptations, and that we as the saved of God should count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. But that word temptation there is speaking about the trial of the Lord. The Lord tries his people, and he allows, or he brings on things to try our faith, to cause our patience to grow. The Lord will never, and as I said, we read here in verse number 13, the Lord will never tempt his children to do wickedness. Okay? The Lord would never tempt any of his children to do wickedness. The Lord will never tempt with the invitation to go to a place where pole dancing would be. The Lord would never tempt with the invitation to go to a place where drunkenness abounds or wickedness abounds. The Lord would never tempt for a man to go and gamble that which the Lord has given him through work or through a blessing or benefit or gift. The Lord will never tempt with wickedness. He doesn't do that. That's Satan. That's mankind. That's our own nature that tempts us in those ways. But the Lord does send trial where he may allow a circumstance, a situation, and the loss of a job. And what will we do? Or he'll allow or send a trial and testing from the standpoint of illness in ourselves or our family. And then it will be faced with what will we do? The trial that the Lord may allow or bring our way will always be that before us to help us in our walk with the Lord, to cause us to grow as children, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The scripture says here plainly, let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. The Lord will never tempt his people with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay, but here it tells us what's working in our own hearts. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And that word lust is there is a sense that word lust is kind of got a bad rap, in that it's always a thought to be that which was immoral or sexual or such as that. You know what? There may be a fellow that just really, really desires. That's a synonym, a same kind of word. It can be used in replacement for the word lust. A man may have a desire towards fishing. He just may really, really like to fish, or he may really, really desire to water ski or to go out and ride dirt bikes, or hunting season is coming on. He may just really, really desire to be able to go deer hunting or camping or such as that. He may have a desire towards that. Well, even in those things, if those things, the world that we like, that we desire, if they cause us to stay out of the services of the church that the Lord's placed us in on the Lord's day, then we've taken that good thing. There's nothing right, a thing wrong with hunting, fishing, not a thing wrong with anything that's right and moral before God, not a thing wrong with that at all. But we take that thing and then we put it before the Lord. It becomes an idol to us. And now we have taken that good thing and with it made it an idol, put it between us and God. And now we've sinned against our God, even in a thing that in and of itself is not wicked or immoral at all. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or his own desire and enticed. Now there's the working of Satan. There's the working of the wickedness and the depravity of mankind. It can come from either direction. And this thing of this pole dancing is just that. It's not of God. It's not going to be blessed of God. It's not of God. It has no content of righteousness whatsoever towards the Lord. The Lord would not approve of it whatsoever. And does not approve of it. It is wicked. But there will be those men there that'll be there. They'll be drawn away of their own desire to see that and to engage in that. They will be enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and then now it's been manifested physically. It's been sin in the heart, but now it's been manifested forth physically. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is the way that it is. It goes on to say, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God brings good things. And so this pole dancing license, this entertainment license that sought to be granted down there in Adairville, is that a blessing from God upon our community? Will that bring good things? Will it be a good thing for our daughters and our nieces and our granddaughters to be involved with in our community? A man that will go, maybe you're a man listening under my voice and you would go to such a place. Would you go there to watch your daughter? Would you go there to watch your wife as other men would watch them? See, some maybe would go ahead and go to watch another. But how is it with your own? It's wickedness before God, and may the Lord help us to see that, and may the Lord bless that we might be spared from this wickedness in our county. And the Lord says back in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. May the Lord help and bless in this. May the people of God pray and seek the Lord's face in this issue, and may we be spared this wickedness in our county. That's my prayer and my desire. I see that our time has passed for now. Well, farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.